Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. That didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet, threw my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt.
Good morning, everyone, and that was just a short opening of Johnny Cash's Sunday Morning Coming Down, which, of course, is the title of my Sunday morning devotional here on North Florida Writer Live. I'm James Dick, your host, and we're here this weekend for another devotional on today, a topic that's extremely pertinent to us today, and the title is Yes, America, Blue Lives Matter. You know, this has really been a rough week for America, and I've been very troubled thinking about how to approach it and all the things that have been going on, but I guess the best way is just to do it directly. People in high places make bad decisions and are not held accountable for them. Other people in high places push the truth under the rug. And at the same time, 5 Dallas police officers are killed, 7 more wounded by a hate-crazed gunman in a rampage of cold blood. And there have been several other shootings of police officers in recent days since the Dallas shooting. It's becoming target practice season on police officers. So what's causing all this? Is it because America has turned from God that these things are so commonplace these days? Is the lack of sound moral parental upbringing a major factor? Since man was given free will to make choices, have we decided there are no consequences for bad decisions made with that free will? Well, folks, probably all of those things and a few more. And we'll talk about some of them in a moment. But first, let's look at our scripture for today. I've got 3 verses. The first, three different readings. First is from Proverbs 6:16 through 19. There are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Wow. You can see plenty of that going on in America today, can't you? And then there's 1 John 3, verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. John's talking about love, folks. Very difficult when you're dealing with your enemies, but he's talking about love. And then from John 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Very strong words, folks. So he talks about murder, he talks about hate, he talks about all these problems, and then he talks about love. And there's a reason for that, and we'll get into it a little bit in just a minute. Let's take a look at the pictures real quickly. First is a picture of the 5 slain officers in their prime. These fellows were not rookies. They were not, you know, what some people talk about, a new officer is a little gun shy or he jumps the gun a little bit. No, these were veterans. The youngest was 32, the oldest 55. First is Patrick Zamarripa, 32 years old. He leaves behind a daughter and a stepson. Prior to joining the Dallas Force, he was a 10-year Navy veteran, and he served 3 tours in Iraq. Then there's Brent Thompson, age 43. Thompson was an officer with the Dallas Area Rapid Transit Police. He recently married another officer on that force. And prior to working in police work in Dallas, he trained police in Iraq, and Afghanistan. So a professional police officer for sure. Then there's Michael Kroll, age 40. He moved to Dallas in 2008, moving 1,000 miles away from his home because he had the opportunity to become a police officer, something that he always wanted to do. And he was a good one. And then there's Michael Smith, the elder of the group, 55. He leaves a wife of 17 years and two girls, aged 14 and 10. His friends have started a GoFundMe page for him, and he's a prior Army vet and was a Ranger. Last was Lauren Ahrens, 48, a 14-year veteran of the force. He's survived by his wife, Katrina. He's described by his friends as a salt-of-the-earth type. And before becoming a Dallas officer, he served 10 years with the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department. So once again, folks, five seasoned professional officers gunned down in cold blood for no reason except the hate of a young man, Micah Johnson, 25 years old, who stated that he wanted to kill white cops and white people. He was in love with the philosophy of the new Black Panthers. That's what we're talking about here. And he would not surrender. They talked to him for a long time. He refused. And finally, when he opened fire, they sent in a police robot, which exploded when it got in there. At least they didn't lose another officer in the process. Anyway, folks, some sordid stuff here. And it's hard to think about this and how do we get to the bottom of it. The tie to Black Lives Matter, they claim there is none, but I do have one question. Since the route of the march that the Black Lives Matter group was taking was supposed to have been kept quiet, confidential, how did Micah Johnson know about the route? Because he was laying in wait like a sniper. And I'll leave it at that. God help those who did this thing, who were involved in it, turn their hearts around. It's never too late, but you can't keep going with the hate because it's just going to break you down to do things like this again and again. And nobody needs that. Anyway, folks, I want to take a little break for some music, and then we'll come back with the finale. I think that Christian music is sometimes some of the best things we can listen to. And this one is especially appropriate because these men have died. And I hope they're resting in peace with God above. But in order to be where you want to be, if your heart's in the right place, you got to go through the old rugged cross. And we'll be back in a moment.
Far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I'll lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a crown.
That's a beautiful old hymn, folks, and it was sung by the wonderful country group Alabama. Okay, folks, so we've talked about all these problems. We've got politicians and others that make bad decisions and cover for one another, and the people know it's wrong. Then we've got all kinds of bickering among the people because everybody wants something different and nobody wants to talk to one another to try to work out differences. And if it pushes too far, it grows into hate, and it grows into such things as harming one another and murder, as happened in this case. So what does God expect of us, and how do we use what he wants us to do to change all that? Well, first of all, we need to take a look at his law and follow it. Best example, the Ten Commandments, and a more modern version of some of the same very words, the Sermon on the Mount. God expects us to be honest and truthful. He expects us to be responsible for what we do. He expects us to be good and kind and have love in our hearts. And he expects us to forgive. Some of those things are very, very difficult. And sometimes we even have laws that make it difficult because they really don't operate under those guidelines. Prime example is Nazi Germany. They violated most of God's laws with half of the things in the law books, and even their esteemed jurists went along with Hitler and would not disagree. Maybe they were afraid. I don't know what it was, but, you know, God expects us to be strong for the right. Not always easy. But in any event, if you want to see what happens when law really gets completely out of kilter, and some people think it's getting that way here in this country, we do have some serious problems with what we call the rule of law and what law actually is, because law is supposed to be something that is divinely inspired by the Creator, because our leaders were made in the image of God just like all of us are. And so they're supposed to act accordingly. And when they don't, we have problems. But in the case of the extreme case, like Germany or maybe even Stalin's Russia, any of these types of situations, man's law becomes so evil that good men have to decide not to follow it. Take a look at the movie, if you ever get a chance, Judgment at Nuremberg. It's an old one from 1951. Spencer Tracy played the chief judge that was assigned to try the justices in the German court system as part of the Nuremberg trials, and it's just absolutely an amazing story and well done, but it just shows you what can happen anywhere when people turn the wrong way. So how do we get these things with God? How do we get there? Well, first of all, we have to open our heart. You open your heart, and when you do, it lets the third person of God, the Holy Spirit, in. He is supposed to be your guidance counselor. You know, Satan is always roaming around out there in the airwaves, and he looks for the weaknesses of people. Might be money, might be power, might be lust, might be a lot of things, but he's looking for that. And he's always trying to take advantage because he can make himself into all kinds of things. If you ever saw The Devil's Advocate, you can understand. But you've got to fight that. And you must fight it hard. And the way you do it is with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, in turn, is the one who connects you with Jesus Christ, who then connects you with the Father, the Creator. And if you do those things and you follow what you're told, if we all did that, we wouldn't have these problems anymore. But as long as Satan rules the earth, and make no mistake about it, he does rule the earth, good people are going to have to stand up. But it's going to be tough. Until that picture that I show on the day when Jesus returns, and he will, and when he does, it will be very, very glorious indeed. But nobody says it's easy, folks, because it really isn't easy. Of course, I guess if it was easy, it really wouldn't be worth anything, would it? So here we are, folks, and here are the real facts of America today. Many of us have lost any semblance of a spiritual foundation, and that foundation is based upon goodness, not evil. We as a nation, in so many ways, have turned our backs on God. We've taken him out of the schools and most public discourse, and we're not too far from the point where it could be that he's taken out of our churches as well. When you tell ministers that they can't preach the word of God, which some are pushing to do, then we've really got some serious problems. And those, I don't know if they're surmountable or not on this earth. We'll just have to see. At the same time, certain supposed religions are allowed to go on unabated, preaching violence and hate, and other entities replace sound religious values on behalf of causes that are questionable while the social order disintegrates. America needs to wake up, and we need to get God back at the center of our stage. We need his grace, we need his love, his guidance, and forgiveness as a building block to destroying hate and bringing reason and peace back to our society before our society is destroyed. And we need leaders who understand this, not leaders who mock it, and parents to once again instill a solid and positive value structure into their children. Maybe if babies stopped having babies, it would be a good start, because they're in no position to carry out the responsibilities that come with motherhood and fatherhood. But the religious revival would be necessary first for that to happen in a society where there seemingly are no consequences for the things that are being perpetuated due to apathy and sometimes even government malfeasance, with money thrown after one misguided cause and another. We need to stop this madness. And may we hope that God grants his peace to those courageous officers who lost their lives this week. And may the families they left behind receive his guidance as they face a life without their loved ones, something they never expected at the end of that day. What a waste of good men, and what shame on those who both perpetuate the hate and refuse to call it what it is. Hate. No other word for it. Hate and murder. Instead, may God bless America. And may we look to him as the center of our life. If we put him first, our second place will be truly divine. Think about that, folks, as you go about in your week. And remember that he's always there for us. He's as close as you just saying a prayer or speaking to him, sitting in your chair, whatever you want to do. He wants to be close to you, and he wants to help you. Why don't we just give him a chance?